Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports as to what's going on in your outdoors, and we're also talking with well-known pro muskie angler Pete Mena, and also with Hayward Area Muskie Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You want to get outdoors, you want to have some fun.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, but don't go with a cheap imitation when you can go with a Flow from Hayward Power Sports. Flow has been leading the way for 30 years. They were the first and are still the best in modular roll-in docks. Flow dock systems are rock solid and the easiest to install, level, and remove. Their easy leveling leg system lets you level the dock from the top side without ever getting wet. Select a welded-on aluminum surface in either gray or alumigrain finishes with long-lasting bake-on anti-slip paint finish. For a quantum leap forward in boat lift technology, check out Flow at Hayward Power Sports. Their patented vertical screwdrive lift is easier, faster, quieter, and smoother than other lifts. The easy leveling legs allow you to lower your lift 9.5 inches from the bottom, allowing it to work in less water. All Flow products come with a 15-year limited warranty, so if you want the best, go with the Flow at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and actually we're a week ahead of time as we record this always. And we got Trent in here down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and Trent's going to give us a little report. What are you hearing from the fishing since it's opened up?
Howdy, guys. Well, actually, we've had a lot of people fishing the Chippewa Flowage, and actually quite a few heading up to Nelson Lake. I've heard it's kind of gotten slow like the last few days, but you know, getting closer to June, we should be expecting to get a little bit more productive.
Water temperatures were up, right? Even from opening day, they were up higher than people expected.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have heard quite a few lakes, with an exception or two. But for the most part, water levels are good this year.
Yeah, but, well, the water temperatures, though, I was referring, they were pretty warm at 50-some degrees on most lakes.
Oh, water temperature, yeah. Very surprising given the late ice thaw.
It doesn't take much sun to warm something up, and I think that's what's happening. Fortunately, the sun is higher than it was a month ago in the daytime.
Trent, was just walleyes you heard about or crappies too?
Well, actually, heard good about the crappies. Walleyes kind of hit and miss, and that's, you know, kind of to be expected with the late thaw as well. And I have been hearing, expect them to be pretty productive until, you know, about mid-June.
Yeah, I think it'll be actually later this year.
Trent, what do you think about the leeches? When do you think they might be in style?
Well, given, you know, that
water temperatures,
you know, as soon as they start warming up even more, you can expect the leeches to get more and more popular.
Yeah, I've seen leeches going from opening day before, but normally, usually it's a week or two into the season. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if guys are getting out there, I know you guys have got a good supply of almost everything in the shop here and set up for everything with a shop expanded now.
Yeah, we got the store reset. It all looks really nice, real easy to find product. So come on in and we can help you find whatever you're looking for.
Well, thanks a lot for coming in here.
Thank you guys for stopping.
In Art, I know you got a couple things that you got to talk about there, too.
Well, you know, we were talking the other day about the musky fishermen and the walleye fishermen. And they don't always agree, John. And there's an interesting bill that was submitted in Minnesota, and it's still in committee. But some of the highlights are no more new musky lakes. That's one. I thought that was kind of interesting. Here's another one. A county board should have the power to overrule the DNR fish stocking plans.
That's bad.
Minimum size lowered to 20 inches in some waters. On waters where muskies are neither native or stocked. And there's another one. Muskie spearing on waters where the muskies are neither native or stocked.
Well, there's been a problem over there, Art, and it's just pure and simple. A bunch of people, and we see the same kind of reaction over here somewhat.
Yep.
They're blaming the muskies for eating all their walleyes, and they're not looking at it realistically. The problem is they got to look back at themselves, because we can't keep every walleye we want. We can't keep every fish we want to keep and expect the fishery to do good, not nowadays.
No, that's true, and the reason... that in some lakes we don't have good populations on one or the other, there's an imbalance, period.
Yeah.
If there's an imbalance, there's an imbalance, and there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But you can't blame one fish or the other fish. And muskies and walleyes lived together for thousands of years.
Yeah. The next part of the show, I had an interview with a plane that I ran with Pete Mena. I actually had it on YouTube as well, talking about that, how people chastise people for keeping this fish or how to handle that or shooting a little buck or all that stuff. And it's an interesting thing, kind of fits right in with what we're talking about with what was going on over there. So, you know, we need to take a break right now, and we'll be back with more on your outdoors in that interview.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
I want to tell you about the Fishing Buckler, friend of the fisherman and every outdoorsman. The Fishing Buckler's lockable, adjustable, and hangs up on your wall. The Fishing Buckler keeps your pole together. It'll float all day, it ain't scared of the weather. Visit us at FishingButler.com. Thank you for my butler.
Fishing Butler. Ultimate fishing rod ties. Ask for them at your local tackle shop.
Finally, fish in a Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Lund boats are built by fishermen for fishermen. Catch your limit in a fully loaded 2018 Lund 1675 Impact SS for just $27,570. That's more than $6,000 under the MSRP. Lund's meticulous design is a perfect balance of strength and performance. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern coverage and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to the excellent resale value. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Mary, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, we talked about that, and it gets ridiculous. If you kill a muskie for any reason, or if you hold it wrong, or if you shoot a little spike buck, I mean, there's somebody out there going to clobber you, especially on the internet nowadays.
It's no different if you're Democrat or Republican, John.
It don't matter. Well, there's a war going on with everything, it seems like. Anyway, I had a chance to talk to Pete Maynard from Hayward here about that. Let's hear that interview. We come back, we've got another interesting interview talking about some walleye tips. So, stay, you know, we'll be back right after this interview. today we're over to Pete Mana's place, and we're talking about a whole lot of different things, and it was kind of interesting conversation going on. And one of the things I talked about, I've been wanting to talk to Pete about that for a while, is you know, we need to get more youth back into the sports of hunting and fishing, and we need to, you know, and how we go about things can make a difference. And Pete, I know, right. One thing I want to see is I want to see more people looking at promoting the sport of fishing. In some ways, we can be selfish. We don't like to have a lot of people on a lake when we're out there, for instance, or in the woods when we're out there hunting. But, you know, I also see a lot of competitive stuff coming up when it comes to fishing. The musky fishing community, the deer hunting community, and I could go on. If you shoot a small buck, there's somebody's going to chastise you because you didn't let him grow bigger. And if you catch a muskie and you handle them the way they didn't think you should handle them because you didn't know, they're going to chastise you for it. And, you know, we have to be careful on how, if we want people into the sport, we have to be careful how we react or interact with people.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, there's a lot, it's actually tough these days because there's some merit to, obviously, maybe letting a small buck walk or letting a fish go, and there's obviously merit to handling fish properly, so they release. But in, I guess the way that it's dealt with is probably more the problem than anything, right?
Instead of coming and talking to people, they will chastise them and jump on them.
There's hypersensitivity that has, you know, I think a lot of it has changed to a certain extent, but the social media aspect, especially when people aren't necessarily responsible for what they're saying, then it tends to really get, or directly, obviously the conversation would be different if it was face-to-face, my point.
Yeah.
But the long and short of it is, essentially, it's a good idea to be able to tell someone, hey, if you're willing to, you know, you let that fork buck walk, it's going to be a lot bigger next year. That's all true. Now, if he does shoot a fork buck and you beat him over the head and say he should never hunt again, that's probably not the right reaction. And the same thing with the way fish are handled and stuff like that. And you and I have talked about this because it especially hits home to me to a certain extent, because for years now I've kind of been known as a conservation guy, and that I started talking about handling of muskie and pike more specifically than anything else, you know, publicly on TV and blah, blah, blah. But so I somewhat got known for that. And on one hand, I'm probably responsible in certain respects for some of the hypersensitivity topics, like, for instance, vertical holds and things like that that are not necessarily good for the fish. Well, you try and educate to the best way to do things, but you don't want to create, you know, total negativity as far as response from somebody that actually knows better to someone that maybe doesn't know better. I guess maybe that's the biggest problem, right? Is that people tend to forget when they've done it a long time that other people just started and they don't necessarily know. So that if you're ripping them apart when they do something technically wrong, that's not accomplishing much.
We all started someplace, and none of us were the best at any one thing starting out, so we had to learn, and the people out there beginning to learn too. So, and I guess the best thing we can do, as like for instance musky fishing, is focus on what we know is the best way to handle these fish, and the less we handle them, the better it's going to be for them, and things we can do to make sure the survival of the fish, but also try to, if we see a situation like that, try to teach other people. And, you know, you've been doing it for years, I've been doing it for years, but even the average angler out there, try to teach people and try to, you know, talk about these things to get people more educated in it. Or, you know, get on YouTube or get, you know, talk about it on Facebook. Unfortunately, when you get online and stuff, like I said, it tend to be a more vicious attack sometimes.
Well, it can. But there is, you know, things do get a little crazy. Overall, it's really positive, though. It's easier to focus on the negative, I guess. You know, recently I did a piece on selective harvest and ran the video, and overall most of the comments were very positive. I got to be real honest. I saw one guy at the end saying, I keep every fish. I fillet it and it goes in the pan. And then,
oh, it's going to be one of them.
Some of the other guys are responding back with comments I won't mention. But, yeah, it's a little hypersensitive. But you know, on the other hand, it's all good. And you can... You can affect people, you know, a lot just one-on-one. And always keep in mind if you're trying to help somebody about any of these issues that, you know, they may have just started, you know, whatever it is, and they may actually have a different opinion than you. And if you wanna try and help, just, you know, try and gracefully say, here's a better way to do it, you know, rather than, you know, screaming at them and calling them dumb. Because a lot of them just don't know. I mean, that's... And, you know, full disclosure, and I say this quite a bit because it's easy to get on your high horse and say, well, here's how you hold a fish, and here you don't need to measure them, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about. Full disclosure, you and I have talked about this. We learned the hard way.
Oh, you bet we did.
It's not we were born brilliant and we just started and we figured all this out. You know, when I talk about don't measure fish in the boat if you can avoid it, well, I used to do that. I saw that they flopped around and it wasn't necessarily a good thing, so I quit doing it. You and I fished together one time, yeah. I remember, with the gut hooking muskies.
Oh,
this is something
we
used
learned
to do
that before the DNR.
Yeah, we did. But the fact is, you know, they were mistakes. We killed some fish. We learned the hard way. So, you know, it's not like we were just automatically born, you know, with this knowledge. You learn the hard way and you try and pass it along. But you know, so I guess the point is, when you're passing along this stuff, hopefully you're saving the learning curve, you know, of learning the hard way like we did. And hopefully to keep the fisheries healthy, you pass it along. But if you pass it along in a graceful manner, understanding that these people don't know yet, and remembering that you didn't know yet either, right? You know, I mean, that makes it a lot easier if you do it gracefully, where people are going to listen to you. And if you're really, in most cases, I guess they might, if you're harsh about it, they might still learn from you. But I would think, you know, the reaction to you're a complete idiot and a fool, this is how you have to do it, could be, you know, the probably about 80% of the time the reaction is going, well, I'm going to keep doing whatever I want to do.
It's a negative reaction. It really is. You know, and there's things we can do too. If you're really an avid fisherman, an avid hunter, and you don't belong to an organization or club, you got Muskies Inc. And like in Hayward here, we got Walleyes for Northwest Wisconsin. There's a lot of different groups and stuff on there. People can get, you can work together and work with the kids. And again, like I said, we need new generations coming up into this sport. It's hard to compete with these things and with video games and stuff, but we need new generations coming up. And I guess it comes back to what I said to start. We need to think about what we do before we do it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we've got all this technology and stuff, John, and, you know, we do want to get, you know, younger people involved in this, but there's more pressure and there's more intelligent pressure out there on the fishery. So you and I both know, I mean, at the end of the day, and this is how I put conservation and catch and release to people a lot. I mean, the bottom line is, you want to hear about the magic lure. You want the magic graph. All of these things help. They can help you catch fish. But really, it's, you know, it's boring to most people, I guess, to a certain extent. Doesn't have all the bells and whistles. But the best way to catch more and bigger fish is to be a part of making sure the fisheries are healthy. Because you and I know that, you know, even as professionals, you can't catch what isn't there.
That's absolutely true.
You are not going to look like a great angler on a crummy fishery. Nobody can do that. And in order to keep youth in it, you got to get rid of the phones and all of that. But the bottom line is, the bobber's got to sink. There's got to be fish in there to catch, and the rod's got to bend. That, you know what, if that doesn't happen at least a little bit, I mean, nobody's going to stick with it. And the more the bobbers sink and the more the rod bends, the more interested all people of all ages are going to be. So the healthy fisheries, really, you could argue, are absolutely the most important thing to getting youth into it.
And that comes back down to a lot what we do. That's what I've been saying for years on the radio and stuff, is that we have to be interactive too on it. It can't be just say, well, I'm going to take what I want and let the DNR put it back in, because that days are gone.
No, that's, yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, the you used to be able to get away with a lot of stuff when there were fewer people harvesting. But and back to my early days, I mean, I started early enough where it was literally a complete harvest mentality. And I'm kind of ashamed to admit that, you know, when it came to the muskie deal, you mentioned Muskie Zinc, that I had really honestly never thought about it when I first had a guy that said to me, when he realized I was getting into muskies, I just guided and killed everything like you were supposed to. If it was legal,
so,
you killed it.
So did I. I mean,
never had the thought process. Guy says to me one day, he says, "Well, you like to catch bigger muskies?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's a pretty neat deal. Well, do you ever think about releasing them? They might get bigger." I had honestly, I never thought about it. And of course, if you use a little common sense, that clicks in. And you know what? They probably would get a little bigger if they were back in the water, still eating, and then, you know, and obviously it does all work, but you got to talk about it.
Yeah, we had to talk about it. Well, Pete, I want to thank you for coming on here. It's been real interesting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it was interesting listening to him. We need to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors, and we'll be back right after that.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle, 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, a lot of interesting things we're talking about there. Muskie season's fast approaching on us now.
Muskie season's approaching, and I think it's going to be a great year this year, John. I really do.
You bet. Well, you know, let's jump into a little interview I got with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Johnson in talking about, you know, pressured muskies and the effects of putting pressure, fishing pressure on them, and also what he looks for when he first heads out in the spring on the type of lake. Steve, you know, when it comes to muskie fishing, you know, we've seen the fish get a lot of pressure over the years, and I think these fish have actually gotten a little harder to catch.
Yeah, I won't argue that, John. You know, I would agree that muskies are probably a species of fish that certainly can be conditioned. You know, if you catch them on the same bait out of the same weed bed a few times, they're going to learn to start to avoid that. And a lot of times it's just shifting locations, shifting presentations, sometimes even shifting bodies of water to stay on a good bite. But there's always good fishing here. We have more muskies than we've ever had. We have more big muskies than we ever had. They're just not always that easy to catch, and that's why I enjoy muskies. They're a challenge. If everybody could do it every day, there would be no need for you and I. And I do enjoy taking people out and getting them their first muskie or showing them how to do it, because it is kind of daunting when you go out muskie fishing on your own the first time. There's a lot of lures, a lot of places to go, and I remember being overwhelmed when I first started, and you know, now it's all second nature to us, so it becomes a much easier process. So it's still a blast, still a challenge, but always good.
I think it comes down to how you present your baits and how hard you want to work at it to catch fish. Sometimes some of these presentations we use where we're trying to actually get responsive or trigger strikes require a lot of effort.
Absolutely. You know, musky fishing is not a lazy man's sport. We're not sitting there watching bobbers so much like a lot of other, you know, types of fishing. It's a workout. It's aggressive. And you certainly can trigger fish to bite that aren't hungry, and I think we've talked about that. You can do it with other species as well, but with muskies especially, you can trigger them to bite how you move your lure, where you put it, and all the moves that you make it do. There's certainly ways to create that instinctual response, and when you get that instinctual response, a lot of times you can get them to bite.
Steve, you know the muskie season is fast approaching on us now. When we get to this part of the year, how do you plan and how do you figure where you're going to start at, what type of waters and everything else?
You know, every year is different, and weather patterns are by far the biggest determining factor on what I'm going to do, you know, as far determining how far we are as far as the spawning progression goes, how far we are as far as water temperature, as far as weed growth, as far as panfish coming in to spawn. All these things are factors, and they all go into the formula when you're trying to figure out where to start.
And generally, it's going to be river systems or river lakes or flowages or dark water, though.
Those are all great choices. I really like the small river systems, small flowages. They seem to warm up faster. They seem like the fish spawn there quicker. It seems like the whole progression of the food chain gets going a little bit faster. But don't discount any kind of shallow type lake. So even larger lakes that have a shallow basin can warm very fast, and sometimes those can be very good early season too.
And the old adage, small baits in the spring, is not always true though, is it?
Not always true. Still a great rule to start with, and one that I will generally start with, but we've shown time and time again that muskies will certainly eat full-size bait starting right away on opening day. Again, depends on the progression of the weather pattern to determine exactly what I'm going to be throwing, but don't be afraid to throw that bigger stuff too. There's days where that'll turn the big ones.
Even topwaters can be productive early in the year.
Absolutely, John. Especially erratic topwaters. Walk the dog topwaters can be very good right away. And, you know, like you say, glide baits and twitch baits and smaller bucktails all have their place and all have their time.
Steve, and if anybody's looking to get out there, muskie guide next summer, spring or summer, once the season opens, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, if they want to give me a call, they can give me a call on my cell at 715-558-3709 or stop on down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. All my information is down here as well, John.
I know you're down here when you're not out on the water.
Yep, I'm working every day. You know me.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Well, that was interesting, you know, and I know where I'm going to be going right away on opening, and it'll be dark water and river systems, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right, John, and I got a hunch you're going to be successful this year quickly.
Usually we get fish every spring, but it doesn't matter where you go. Interesting thing, Art. Governor Walker just announced a really enhanced CWD protocols, and coming down pretty hard on some of them deer farms.
Yeah, and I've seen some people already against him saying it's not strict enough.
Well, it might not be strict enough, actually, when you're dealing with something like that.
But that's right. It's a horrible situation, and deer farms are partly, I would say, 80% responsible for the CWD in our state.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know if you got anything here to talk about besides what other thing?
Well, this relates to bald eagles, and I was really interested in this, John. In the 1970s, there were only 108 bald eagle nests in our state. Now there are 1,590. Active nests. Now, a nest can weigh up to a ton, and it's just amazing to me how it's recovered since about 1970.
When they got rid of DDT.
Right. That was a big thing. It was killing it was making the eggs not thick enough to have a good shell on them.
Yeah.
But the point that I'm making is that there's a tremendous increase in eagles, and that's wonderful.
You know, let's talk about spring fishing a little bit. When it comes to walleyes, you know, you can sit in one spot and sit and kind of ambush them with a slip bobber. That's effective, but it's just as effective if you know there's fish along the shoreline to cover that shoreline and get out, and you might catch more fish than sitting in one spot. Well, you know, talk about one thing I want to remind people is that if you miss one of our shows here, you can always go to our website, which is wnoradio.net. And from there, we've got links to our podcast site and to our YouTube channel. A lot of interesting things up there. This last week, I just put up a YouTube video of Max Walter's presentation, State of the Chippewa Flowage, out at Deerfoot Lodge on the Friday before opener. A lot of great information in there, folks, with, you know, talk about stocking and growth rates and just a ton of good information. But you can get all that right from our website at wnoradio.net. But we're out of time. This half hour goes awful fast.
Take one of those youngsters fishing and create a little fishing monster.
With me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.